Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, Joel Malkin for WJNO.com, and my election spotlight is on the race for Florida House District 81. This is the seat held by Tina Pulski, who's running for a Senate seat. We'll be speaking with her as part of our election coverage as well. This one has a Republican, Dr. Salas Ben-Yonas, and a political newcomer, running against Democrat Kelly Skidmore, a former member of the state legislature, trying to get back in. And we have Dr. Ben-Yonas on. Thanks for joining me once again. We did speak with you during the primary. I wanted to give you, and folks can always go to the iHeartRadio app and they can pull up local newswire. They can look up the older interviews. But just kind of touch on your background a little bit. What type of medical doctor? What is your specialty?
Well, I have multiple board certifications. My primary practice is interventional pain management as well as regenerative medicine. And I have board certifications in interventional pain management through the American Board of Physical Medicine and Rehab. I also have board certifications in internal medicine as well as regenerative medicine, as well as the I'm board certified in disability analysis as well. So I have multiple board certifications, but my primary practice is interventional pain, and then I've also worked as a medical expert for the Department of Health in the past.
Okay, let's start here. When you and I spoke, one of the things that we talked about, obviously, with you being a medical doctor, and with COVID-19 being the biggest topic, and unfortunately, here we are in October, and it still is. And this was August. So I brought that up to you, and we talked about that. And I know that obviously that's part of your campaign as well, being able to talk about the coronavirus from a medical point of view. And you do have a campaign running on Facebook as well. So get me updated on that.
Sure. Well, there's multiple issues that our campaign is standing for, but obviously, being a physician, you would think that you would want somebody that's a physician that understands the science, that has worked as a medical expert previously, that you know that would be in the Florida legislature to help them to understand and tie together the science and how we can actively apply it to the public. So, not only knowing risk factors, but alternative options that are potentially out there as well. Who's at risk? What is the data showing? And helping to facilitate that so that people can understand the information much more effectively, as opposed to, just numbers being spit out there, which can sometimes scare a lot of the public.
You were telling me before we started recording that you actually no longer have campaign ads running on Facebook, but that wasn't by choice.
Correct. Through our campaign account, we haven't been able to advertise because there was a declaration that was put together this past weekend on October 4th by multiple scientists around the world. From Harvard, Stanford, and Oxford were the three main, but there were also co-signers that were Nobel Prize winners that offered an alternative pathway for dealing with the coronavirus. Essentially, what it came down to was they felt that it was handled very poorly overall, and not just in one area. But they offered an alternative. They talked about herd immunity, protecting the vulnerable populations. And, as a result of me posting this link saying, listen, here's an alternative approach to approaching things, unfortunately, Facebook suspended our advertising campaign through our account and stating that it's under review. And that due to the coronavirus, they stated that, you know, that it may take several weeks to get for them to be able to address it, our appeal. So clearly, this takes us past the election. It's a little disconcerting. It's a little challenging for us to be able to get the message out. But there are a lot of physicians, a lot of scientists around the world that think that there are better ways to approach this than what's currently being done.
Do you smell the scent of suppression here, perhaps, or do you?
Oh, absolutely.
This is on the up and up.
Absolutely. I feel that this is actually very dangerous, because if a physician and scientists aren't able to express their opinion freely, that's how science actually progresses. That's how we get information, whether it's medical science or any type of science. It's by doctors asking questions, say, hey, is there another way that we can do this? In fact, one of the reasons that these scientists came together this weekend, and they actually did it in secret, was because anytime they did it individually, they found that they were being significantly suppressed and ridiculed. So they wanted to come together as a group, and it's called the Great Barrington Declaration. And anybody can visit their website online. They published it, I believe, on Sunday. That's when it was put out. And I put it on, you know, my advertising campaign, saying, here's another way that we can approach things, that we can open up society and get back to work and really get back to normal while protecting vulnerable populations and working our way through this much more actively so that we can essentially get back to normal.
So what I mean, do you think that it's, and I know it's a conjecture here on your part, but is it that Facebook only wants to look at what the World Health Organization, for instance, would put out there? And obviously they would tell you that folks, you know, they would tell you, Facebook would, that it's the algorithms. But we know that humans are behind who, you know, that set up the algorithms.
Correct. I mean, honestly, it would be conjecture, and but it's clearly pushing one narrative, and appears to be actively suppressing alternative opinions. And it didn't matter if they were Nobel Prize winners or that they're from, you know, Oxford, Stanford, Harvard, where these people are from. And they've actually felt that they were being actively suppressed as well. So, you know, I can't say why they're doing it, but clearly it pushes. I know that my opponent has actually been pushing for more masks, more lockdown, more this, more that, and suppressing this. And I am of, you know, using science. There's other people with different opinions. And one of the things that they actually stressed was that they were from all political backgrounds, but that they could not ignore the data. And I've been trying to follow the data, and that's kind of what pushed me to, you know, additionally run it. It helped to motivate me, because I felt that in our state, a lot of the information was actually not being put out there that was accurate. You know, that we need to use facts, not fear. And that's what, you know, we need to push. Make sure that the information is there for people so that they can make better informed decisions.
I want to give you time to actually talk about your campaign and the differences, sure, between you and Kelly Skidmore, you're running against. So I don't want to make this a whole COVID conversation, if you don't mind, because,
sure,
I want to be able to give you the service that you deserve as a candidate.
Sure.
Is there one or two key pointers that you're trying to put out there that we're not doing that we should be when it comes to the virus?
Sure. Well, I encourage everybody to go read the Barrington Declaration, the Great Barrington Declaration, and, you know, just see a different alternative viewpoint. But one of the things that's out there is that when the FDA put a warning on hydroxychloroquine and kind of discouraged its use, what ended up happening is that even though that was based on much of it was based on a retracted study where it was shown essentially to be falsified data. And essentially what's happening is when they put that warning on hydroxychloroquine, all the hospitals pulled hydroxychloroquine out of the hospitals. It had made doctors fearful, I think, to start prescribing it. So even if you were admitted to the hospital with the coronavirus, doctors could no longer administer that medication because the hospitals removed it from their formulary, which is essentially a list of drugs that they can prescribe while the patient's there, because the hospitals don't want to get sued. So the FDA put a warning on it, and it had this trickle-down effect throughout the system, where in many cases, you were no longer able to get that medication if you were hospitalized. Now, on the upside, they were still using, they're still using zinc, they're using the vitamin C. Since then, vitamin D has come out as being a significant contributing factor for people that have actually died from the coronavirus. And, you know, even Dr. Fauci mentioned a couple weeks ago, somebody asked him if he was taking vitamin C and vitamin D, and he admitted that he was. He didn't commit to zinc, but certainly that's one of the protocols when people are in the hospital. But there's other medications out there, such as budesonide or ivermectin, that are showing very promising results. But, you know, it's these cheap alternatives aren't really available to many of the physicians there.
All right, let's talk about. I'm looking at your website, and you have priorities here. You know what? Let's touch on supporting small businesses because I haven't heard a study since this was several weeks ago that South Florida, the Tri-County area, Miami-Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, had lost permanently over 3,000 small businesses due to the pandemic and the measures taken. In the wake of the pandemic, what do you think needs to be done to support small businesses besides the obvious? You know, the ones that are still in business, go support them.
Right. So one of the things that I propose is to, and I think that this is across the board. Everybody pretty much agrees with this, that there has to be an internet tax so that it helps to not only the tax-based structure for the budgeting in the future. I think that internet companies that aren't charged the tax, it puts local brick-and-mortar facilities at a disadvantage. So that's one of the things that I think that we in Florida need to actually look at to help to support our tax base, not just taxing the brick-and-mortar places.
I thought we do have. Don't we have something fairly within the last couple of years that if a business has a local headquarters and they sell online, that you do have to pay tax online?
I'd have to look at the specifics of that, but I believe that it's not nearly as much as a local brick-and-mortar is actually taxed.
Okay.
So it puts them at a disadvantage. Another thing specifically that I wanted to help to target small businesses in Florida, because overall our corporate business taxes here are quite low. That's what draws people here. But to specifically help to promote small businesses, my proposal was to try to suspend property taxes for employers that have less than 25 employees, you know, potentially for the next 2 years to allow them to jumpstart their business and put those extra savings that they're getting from the property taxes back into investing in their own business and help to promote it. And then if people have, 100 employees or less, they would get those taxes suspended for 1 year in an effort to just jumpstart small business and help the state to help them out as much as they could.
Is this an idea that has legs? In other words, are you the only one talking about this, or is somebody else? Is there some sort of a movement with people that are already in the legislature that you're aware of?
This is my proposal. So if I win, certainly I hope to put legs on it.
Okay. I didn't know. It sounds pretty good. You know, as somebody who watches over monitors the Palm Beach County Commission meetings and see these small business owners prior to the governor taking his action recently to where they had to allow bars and other businesses to reopen. Watching these people pour out their, practically in tears about their businesses, and it sounds like a great idea. So I didn't know if this was something that, if this is something that had already been in movement, but this is something that's pure Bañones, I guess.
Yeah, this is something that we came up with because we actually we had our tax bill. It's like the stupid property taxes are due again. Yeah. And we were paying it. It was like, this would be a great, just having this chunk of money that we're paying to the government would be a great thing for any small business to be able to take and apply back into their business to help them during these difficult times.
Wow. Okay. Now, let me ask you, what separates you from your opponent, besides obviously, you're a Republican, she's a Democrat. In essence, why should folks vote for you instead of her? Of course, she's going to tout her, you know, previous 4 years in the legislature, the word experience right. that they like to use. So you go ahead and give me your thoughts.
Sure. So, well, obviously, during a pandemic, you would want somebody that understands the science. I mean, this obviously, to me, it just seems like a basic point that, hey, you'd want to have a doctor when there's a problem with health. So beyond that, which we've already discussed, you know, essentially what's happened is there's a lot of things that have gone on throughout our community through District 81. And when I've been doing these Zoom debates and stuff like that, my opponent has tried to push that, oh, you know, her experience. But when we look at District 81, it's essentially been run by Democrats for the last 20 or 30 years. So in that time, you know, I've gone through and I've talked to people in Boca. And in Boca, they're constantly complaining about it's very built up and stuff like that. The traffic is very congested. Well, there's been a plan that's been approved since 2008 to actually to have a Palmetto Park Road exit from the turnpike there to help to reduce that congestion and that traffic. You know, this has been since 2008. My preceding representatives, they never got this done. So, you know, she may be running on experience, but is she actually delivering? And have prior representatives that have been run by the same party, have they delivered for the community? Another thing is in West Boynton, in the COBRA organization, which is about 119 different communities that form this organization, they've been promised a middle school there. And essentially, it was 23 years now that's been delayed, that they don't have a public middle school in their community. So an entire generation essentially has passed through and grown up in that community without having that middle school that was, you know, that they should have available to them. So everybody's getting bussed out for over a generation of people. And then another thing is that a firehouse was supposed to be built over there because the community has grown so much that there's extensive wait times if an ambulance gets called to certain parts of the community. So these are things that I've identified here in the western communities west of the Turnpike. You know, out in Belglade and Pahokee and South Bay, in these areas, the roads, everybody, you know, I talk to them, yes, they want economic development, but you're not going to get that economic development if the infrastructure isn't there. So what I can say is that, you know, these things have been neglected and haven't been done because there haven't been people in office that have been willing to get the job done, that have been willing to work with politicians to bring home that tax money to actually complete these tasks here. So these are things that I've identified that have been specific complaints of these communities that I'm saying, listen, I'm a business owner. I built a business from the ground up. You know, she's a politician saying she has experience, but what has experience gotten you? You've been overtaxed, and a lot of these people feel that they've been underserved. So where is that experience? What has it actually done for the actual communities themselves? You haven't fixed the roads. You haven't built the firehouse. You don't even have a middle school, even though, you know, plans have been in place for many, many years. So it's a lot of empty promises without actually delivering. So personally, I'm tired of politicians. I am a reluctant politician, but I'm tired of people saying one thing and then not actually delivering it. So I'm a business owner. My wife and I have actually built businesses together, you know, that have been very successful. And together, we're actually used to getting things done. I put myself through medical school. I put myself through undergraduate school. I got 2 degrees on my own. I served in the military. So it's essentially, let's get people in there that can actually do a job, get the job done that they're talking about. I don't need more politicians. I don't need more empty promises. I need people that are going to deliver and deliver for the community.
All right. Anything else before we wrap up?
No, I guess that was pretty good.
Yeah.
So I'm tired of politics. This isn't about politics. This is actually about getting things done. We need to get people in office. I think everyday citizens need to step up and be willing to serve in the legislature, in their city councils, all of that stuff. We're done with politicians. We need people that are actually going to deliver for the communities. These people are they're elected into office to get a job done. We don't need people that are going to make empty promises. We're tired of that. And that's why I'm running. You know, if you're happy with and you feel like your tax dollars are being spent wisely, then you keep voting those politicians in. But, you know, this isn't about, any one political party. This is about people versus any party. If you want to get things done, you need to look at the people to get the job done. I have a track record of just in the business and in the local community of getting things done. So that's the difference between me and her. She'll sit there and tout her that she's been there and she knows how to do things. But when you look at their actual track record, the communities in many ways feel neglected. You know, things aren't getting done, and we need to get people into office that are willing to get things done, and we'll work with anybody to get things done.
All right. Appreciate you taking the time to speak with us once again. Dr. Salas Benyonis, Republican candidate for State House District 81. Thanks for popping in my election spotlight.
Thank you very much for having us and for having me, and please check out our campaign website at solisbanyonis.com or even Facebook. We're allowed to post still. We're just not allowed to advertise. So hopefully that will continue. Thank you very much.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.